Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you. Thank you for the energy this morning. I am very excited to be with you and to share a message that the Lord has put on my heart. That I believe there is something specific for us as individuals this morning. That sometimes the Lord puts on our heart a word for, you know, the corporate setting, and sometimes God puts a word on our heart for us as individuals, and I believe this is a word for us as individuals. So I want to open in prayer, and also want you to pray for your neighbor. As I'm praying for you, I want you to be praying for your neighbor, that they would hear what God wants to speak to them this morning. Father, thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that in your presence there is peace. There's love, there's joy. Thank you that in your presence, Lord, there's forgiveness, there's redemption, there's sanctification, there's cleansing. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, I pray that each person here, those to our left and those to our right, would receive what you want to release this morning. Father, I pray against any distractions. I pray against any reminders that would want to block the truth that you want to speak this morning. Father, we come against any lies. We come against the voice of the accuser. We come against the voice of our memories and the voice of our past this morning. And we step into your presence with fullness of joy to receive all that you have for us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning I went to visit someone that was in their last days, and It was hard to see this person where they were at. And I was speaking to their daughter for a few minutes, and she said something that stuck with me. She said, I was speaking to Mom last week when she could actually speak. And as I was speaking to Mom, Mom was still so weighed down that she hadn't done enough in life. That she hadn't done enough for God. That she hadn't lived a life fully pleasing to God. This person is a person that walked with God for, I don't know, my guess would be 70 years. A person that did lots of ministry, went on many missions trips, yet came to the end still feeling this sense that I didn't do enough. And it really stuck with me because I thought to myself, what's enough? What's enough? And I thought to myself, I knew I was speaking on this passage this morning, but I thought to myself, I don't want us to come to the end of our life and still feel guilty. Guilty for things we have done, or guilty for things we haven't done. Because I do think that guilt is something that was taken care of on the cross. See, there's a big difference between the Old Testament sacrifices that were offered annually by the people and the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the big difference that I'm going to talk about today, and I'm going to leave time at the end for us to actually experience God's cleansing of our guilt, The big difference is that the Old Testament reminded the people of their sin. And the New Testament redeems. The Old Testament reminded the people. And in that reminder, there's guilt. But in Jesus, the guilt is taken away. This morning's message is Beyond Shadows. And the subtitle is Finding Perfection in Christ. And I want to share with you this morning that you, in your spirit man, spirit woman, inside your spirit, you have been made perfect, holy, righteous, guiltless, shameless. Amen. That deserves more than one. Amen. Amen. And I know you don't believe it because you're like, hold on a second. We are sinners. We're wretched sinners. Yes, in your soul, you are a sinner. Yes, you are. But in your spirit, which I'm going to show you the difference between, in your spirit, you've been made perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you're perfect. Look at the empty seat next to you and say, future person who sits here, you are perfect. Our first point is we like to stay in the shadow of our sin. But God invites us into the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Turn with me. We'll also have the words on the screen. It's a powerful chapter. It's a continuation of chapter 9. So some of this you might have heard last week. This will be like part 2. But the writer of Hebrews says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So what the writer is saying is the Old Testament sacrifices were unable to make the worshiper perfect. Verse 2, otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? In other words, if the worshipers were made perfect through the sacrifices, they wouldn't need more sacrifices. You get it? They wouldn't need to offer them year after year because they would have been made perfect when they were first offered. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. What the writer is saying is that the law, which is in the Old Testament, it's 613 laws, the law was only a shadow of what was to come. It was a shadow of the good things that were to come. The good things that came, that we're all living in, is the gospel. That's why the gospel is good news. The law was a shadow of the gospel, but was not the reality itself. It was not the full taste of what we experience in Jesus. The writer says Old Testament sacrifices can never make perfect those who worship. And why are the people never made perfect? Perfect here means fulfilled, complete, perfected, holy. Why were the Old Testament sacrifices never able to make the person perfect? Because the guilt remained. You see, when the annual sacrifices would happen and these animals are being offered, the people would be reminded of their sins. And the Old Testament sacrifices satisfied God, but they never took away the guilt from the people. And so God looked at the sacrifice and the blood of the animal in the Old Testament, and he said, yes, I am satisfied by this sacrifice. But the people were never actually cleansed on the inside. They carried the guilt and they carried the shame. Why? Because as an animal was sacrificed, they were reminded of their sin. They were reminded that they fall short of the glory of God. And this reminder that the people engaged in every year and every time there was a sacrifice, this reminder almost reestablished the guilt. Have you ever had a hard time forgetting about something you did? Something you said? Something you didn't do? Something you didn't say? Have you ever had a person remind you of something you did, something you said, something you didn't do, something you didn't say? Have you ever had that reminder come up in your mind? That reminder, for me, always comes with guilt. It comes with the sense that I should have done better. I should have spoke better. I should have done more. I should have done less. I mean, every week that goes by, there's something I do throughout the week that I regret. I feel guilt. I shouldn't have reacted that way. I shouldn't have responded that way. Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Why did I do that? Anybody with me? See, when we're reminded, there's guilt. This is Old Testament. Part of us is stuck in that. We're stuck in that because, unfortunately, we've been parented that way, and we parent that way. We grew up in an education system that punishes not doing things right. We grow up in a system that has the law, which is good to have to keep us safe. But if the world system, it operates with guilt. And when I'm reminded of my own sin, my conscience is filled with guilt. We sometimes dwell on our sin, but God invites us to dwell in him. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1 and 2 says, he or she who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide or rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, the place you dwell will be the place you rest. The place you dwell will be the place that you find rest in. And if you dwell in your sin, you'll find guilt. You'll find shame. That reminder will come back again and again and again. The enemy loves to keep us in this place of guilt and shame through reminder. But there's another place to dwell. See, the Old Testament law did not change the heart of the worshiper. It reminded the people of their sin. Yes, God was satisfied with the Old Testament sacrifice. Yes, there was forgiveness of sins positionally, spiritually. There was forgiveness of sins, but the worshiper never felt the release, the freedom. The Old Testament sacrifice did not change the conscience of the worshiper. That's why it's so significant that we, as we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we realize there's more than just a spiritual forgiveness. There's a conscience that can be cleansed. Jesus didn't come to remind us of our sin. He came to remove sin and all of its effects. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 says, we have been made holy. Everyone say, made holy. Through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Made perfect means sanctified, cleansed, whole, complete. And we are being made holy. The Lord showed me that being made holy actually has two parts to it. One part of being made holy is that in our spirits, we are completely righteous, completely holy, completely pure, completely perfect. In your spirit, when you come to Jesus, when you say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, forgive me for my sins, and you follow Jesus with your life, and you commit in faith to following Jesus in your life, when that happens, your spirit is fully holy and perfect, fully righteous in your spirit. But you are also being made holy. And that's your soul. That's your mind, your will, your decisions, and your emotions. You see, we are tri-dimensional beings. We are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our body is the skin, what you see, what you touch, the biology of your body, your organs, your muscle, your ligaments, your bone, all of that. That's your body. Your body will be saved in the afterlife. Right now, it's unfortunately, we are all decaying. We're all slowly dying. Sorry. I know it's morbid, but that's the reality. Our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions is being saved, being made holy. Not fully saved. We still sin in our mind, our will, and our emotions, but we are being saved. So our body will be saved, our soul is being saved, but our spirits, which is what I want to touch on today, our spirits are totally saved. Holy, righteous. See, your spirit, actually, if we were to take the cross, when you come to know Jesus, when you come to know Jesus and you come to the cross, you come to the cross and you bow at the cross. You say, Jesus, I've made a mess of my life. I give you my life. Forgive me for my sins. When that happens, this is what happens in your spirit. Your spirit is completely made holy. And when you are made holy, the Father now sees you through the cross. This has to happen for you to get to heaven. The Father sees your spirit through the Son. And because the Son and because of the blood, as I shared the last week and in weeks past, the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and makes my spirit holy, pure, righteous. And now the Father looks at me through the cross. We are completely, in our spirit, made holy. That's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Why is this important? This is important because our spirit, I'm going to call my spirit man. My spirit man can lead my soul if I feed my spirit. My spirit is fed by worship, prayer, time in the Word, and other spiritual practices that focus me on God. When I pray in the Spirit on all occasions, which Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, he doesn't just mean speak in tongues. He means pray from your spirit man. Because a spirit that is fed by the Holy Spirit is a spirit led by the Holy Spirit. And whatever appetite you feed will lead. If you spend all of your time focused on the things of the flesh, our regrets, our shame, our mistake, consequences, things we did wrong, things we should have done that we didn't do. If we spend all of our time, guess what's not being fed? The spirit. It's all the flesh. And we end up in a cycle of fleshly thinking, soulful thinking. And the Lord is saying to us this morning, this is what I feel the Lord is wanting us to do, is he wants us to feed the spirit and invite the spirit to lead. You know, you have to actually invite the Spirit to lead. You do this in your devotion, in your quiet time, when you're in prayer. You say, Holy Spirit, lead today. You pray in the Spirit. You spend time in God's presence because all of that in the Spirit. You spend time in God's Word. Why do we spend time in God's Word? It's more than just to know truth. Yes, truth is obviously so important as a foundation for our faith. But as we read the Word of God, it is spirit. It is God's breath. And as I read spirit, my spirit is awakened and leading. Second Timothy 1 verse 6 says to fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame. The Spirit, the breath of God. Fan it into flame. That's what we're doing this morning. That's why we came here. We didn't come here just to listen to this guy up there talk, sing a few songs, read them on the screen, say hi to a few friends and go home. No, those are byproducts and wonderful. Those are awesome. I love doing it too. But we came here, why? We came here to feed the Spirit. To say, Spirit, lead. Holy Spirit, lead. The second part of being made holy is that I am dedicated and set apart for God. I'm able to be used by him. The priests, they were holy because they were set apart, dedicated for service to God. See, now that we know that our spirits are holy and perfected because of God, now that we know that, God says, now I use you as priests Sometimes we think that serving in the house of God, serving in ministry, we think that's personality, that's ability, that's talent, that's, well, can I teach kids or not? Well, I'm not really a good teacher. Well, therefore I shouldn't teach kids. Or I don't really know, you know, how to sit behind a camera, so I won't really serve in tech. What we do is we tend to see our value through our soul. We tend to see our value through our talents. We tend to see our value through our abilities or our experience or our education, or all of that is earthly thinking. Like, if God calls you to do something, if God calls you to serve somewhere, he will give you all the ability necessary to do that job. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit, not to be led by the soul, not to be just led by what I feel like doing, not to just be led by what I'm good at. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That is a spiritual principle that on earth makes no sense. But this morning, I believe God wants us to come back and look at this place of remembering. You see, we like to remember, but God forgets. In Jewish culture, memory is a very important part of the customs. Memory was the way that the Jewish people would pass down the teaching about God to their children and their grandchildren and so on and so forth. The Jewish people would set up memorial stones to remember what God had done. And they would talk about these stories of what God has done through the memorial stones. The Jewish people would use remembering as a very powerful way to teach future generations. Remembering is so important. We talk about remembering testimonies at church. We like to hear the stories of what God is doing. And as we remember what God has done, we have faith for what he will do. Remembering is so important. But the Day of Atonement was more than this. The Day of Atonement was a reminder of the people's sins. They'd come to the sacrifices. They would remember the last year what they had done, and the guilt would remain. For hundreds and thousands of years, the Jewish people, even today, through their holidays, they remember. It's all about memory, remembering, reciting, remembering, reciting. And on the Day of Atonement, they would remember their sin. So when we come to this verse in Hebrews 10, verse 17, it shows how powerful this verse is for the Jewish people and for us as well. Remember, after hundreds of years, thousands of years of sacrifices being offered, of reminding of the sins of the people, God says to the people, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. See, in the death of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, all sin, all memory of sin, all guilt, all shame, God says, I remember it no more. I remember your guilt no more, your shame, your sin. Think about that. And when I think about how much God forgets, I think about his love, because 1 Corinthians 13 says that love keeps no record of wrongs. And so for God to forget is for God to say, my love is so powerful that I don't keep a record of your wrongs anymore. His love is so powerful that it takes the guilt away, the shame away. It's an extreme statement. And sometimes theologically we think, well, how could an omniscient God that knows all things, how could he actually forget? I think the writer of Hebrews and through the Holy Spirit is making an extreme statement. So don't get caught up theologically with it. Just realize it's an extreme statement of God saying, I love you so much. The power of the cross is so powerful that I forget what you've done. So why do we remember? Why are we always reminded of the things we've done? It's because we have not allowed this truth to rest upon us. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite us to together to find relief from this guilt, to find relief from any shame. I'm going to invite us in a few minutes to do something together as we worship. And that's called rest. When I feel like God has dealt completely with something that I've done, I feel rest. I feel like I am able to rest from the reminders. Do you have reminders on your iPhone? Alerts? Alarms? Sonia has like 10 of them. I don't have any on mine. That's just the way we both parent. But each time these come up, it's something that we have to do, right? We have reminders, though, in our hearts that come up. And when I thought about these reminders, I thought the Lord wants to provide rest to all of you this morning. He really does. I don't just mean this like theologically in our minds. He wants to provide rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, weary and burdened. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As I was praying over the service, I felt the Lord show me. It was like a big, deep breath. Like, have you ever, like, taken a deep breath and just felt, like, the full weight of that, like, that release, that lightness, that burden being lifted? Have you had experiences in your life where it just felt like Have you ever felt these moments like where we're going from like winter to spring and the sun comes out and it's so amazing that you just stand there and you're like, thank you, Jesus. This is why I moved to British Columbia. And the radiance of the sun is beaming off of your face and you just feel better, right? And I felt the Lord say, come to me. All you who are weary, being reminded of your sins, feeling guilty, shameful, come to Jesus. All you who are weighed down with the burdens of life, and he will give you rest. Rest. He then says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's a yoke? It's more than what's in your egg. A yoke is an old farming term. It's a wooden brace. And a wooden brace would be placed over two oxes or other animals. And this yoke would keep the two oxes together. And then the two oxes would wear this yoke and they would plow the fields, pulling a machine behind to till the soil. Now we have tractors. Thank God for John Deere. That's the brand of a tractor, in case you didn't know what John Deere was. Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you. You see, as a young ox was learning how to plow, they'd put an older ox and a younger ox together. And the older ox would teach the younger ox how to plow. The older ox would teach the younger ox the pace, and the younger ox has to like keep up with the pace, the direction, the patience. And the younger ox would eventually grow up stronger so that both oxes were equal. But in the beginning, it was the older ox and the younger ox. And this wooden brace would rest heavily on the older ox. And the younger ox was walking with the older ox, thinking, I'm doing pretty good here. But it was really the older ox carrying a lot of the weight. The older ox showing the younger ox how to do it. So for the younger ox, there was actually a lightened weight to the yoke. But the younger ox is so happy looking up at the big ox, because the younger ox is doing it, you know. But it's really the power and strength of the older ox. And Jesus says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And then Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. We'll never be Jesus, but we can walk in step with him. We can never carry the weight that Jesus carried, but we take the cross on us. He carries the weight. He carries the heaviness. It's light for us. It's heavy for him. It's light for us. And we walk with him. And he teaches us how to walk. And he teaches us how to do this thing he's called us to do. And this is what it means to be led by the Spirit. In our own strength, the yoke of following Jesus would kill us. And so this morning, I'd like to invite the worship team to come. And I believe that the Lord wants us in worship to come to him and to seek healing and to give him the burdens, the regrets, the mistakes. And I believe the Lord wants to take those from you this morning. To take the guilt from you, the shame, the regrets, the mistakes of the past. And I want you to, in your own mind and in your own heart, I want you to give specific memories to him, specific things to him. It could have been this week. It could have been last month. It could have been 25, 30 years ago. If it comes up in your mind as you're worshiping the Lord and you're giving it to him, I want you to bring it to him. He said this morning, come to me, all you who are weary. Maybe you've never come to Jesus. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know anything about Jesus. He says, come. Bring your heaviness, bring your weight, bring those things to him, and he will provide you rest. And so as we worship together, we're going to sing together a few songs. And as we do, take this time to slow down and rest in him and give him those burdens that you've been carrying. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. You are comforter, counselor. We thank you, Father, for your love in this place, your perfect love that casts out all fear. We thank you, Jesus, for your friendship. We thank you for what you provided on the cross, Jesus, for each one of us. We come into your presence now. And I pray for freedom, healing, and rest in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.